cover coats on the northeast coast. The sandy beach and caves here have been popular with tourists for generations. And even on a wet and rather grey summer's day, there's a sense of optimism here. That sense is shared by the man in charge of the area's main general hospital, Sir Jim Mackey, a former chief executive of NHS Improvement and this year's guest speaker at our NHS in the North Excellence and Supply Awards 2021. Coming up, he shares his thoughts on how the NHS tackled the pandemic, why collaboration counts, and how the welfare of staff and their families is his main concern. I'm Nigel Thompson, and this is the Innovation Agency Podcast. Well, Jim, thanks for talking to us. We're talking at an interesting time for a number of reasons, but let's talk a bit about yourself as well. How are you at the moment, given that you're the head of a very big trust going through a heck of a time in the middle of a pandemic? How's life for you?
It's great, generally, you know. So from a recovery perspective, the organisation's doing really well. We're working well with partners across the northeast and North Cumbria to do that together. We're all at a bit of a kind of crossroads from a COVID perspective, where community rates are very high. But touch wood, helpfully at the moment, we're not seeing an awful lot of admissions in very sick people, largely because of the success of the vaccination process. But I think we're just all watching the data every day. None of us really feel comfortable yet. We just really want to feel like we can understand the rhythm of how it's going to work now. And our staff have been fantastic, so we really hope that in the next few weeks they'll be able to get away and get a bit of a holiday and a break. Because the way the NHS works is winter comes really quickly, and we're actually very busy now from an emergency perspective. Pre-COVID levels plus 10, 20%, which is incredibly busy. So once we're back from holidays, it'll very quickly move into a vaccination period and then a winter period. So we do need people to just try and get off and get a bit of a rest.
And talking of staff, I've read your blog, and it seems that, you know, staff welfare is, I'm sure, as it is for many people, very important to you. 11,500 staff, 11,500 parcels to say thank you for being brilliant. You know, that's quite a bold thing, I imagine, an expensive thing to do. But so why did you go ahead and do that, to give staff, you know, some kind of reward for the work they've done so far?
Staff experience has always been a big thing here, you know, for 10, 15 years or so. It's been central with patient experience to everything that we've done. And I think what COVID's done is it just give everybody a bit of a shock in lots of ways, didn't it? And reminded us all that our staff, they just do incredible things, or that we can really simplify, oversimplify. It's really easy to take for granted what they do. And when you think about what they've been through, you know, I've seen genuine courage, bravery, selflessness, real fear in a lot of people. They've had to face into things that we didn't understand, didn't know what the risks were. Had all of the stuff, you know, what's going on in society with our families, you know, etc. In a general, really humbling focus on the people that we look after. So anything we can do as an employer in a small way to just say thank you and take the edge off some of that anxiety and difficulties, you know, really important. And it did feel really at the height of the pandemic that there wasn't much any of us could actually do. It was going to be what it was going to be, so we could at least make the staff feel looked after, be looked after, provide as much comfort and support as we could, and make sure systems didn't fail, so, you know, like supplies actually flowed and they had the PP that they need, etc., etc. But just finally, the, you know, the NHS is a people business. We talk about technology all the time and backlogs and money and, you know, all those sorts of things. It's about people. It's absolutely what we're all about.
A very commercial thing to do. I can imagine quite a few private companies giving, you know, some kind of voucher or, you know, reward. Do you think the NHS has got much to learn from the private sector? Because that, as I say, is a thing you'd expect people like Google to do, for example, for their staff. But do you think there's more that could be done to make sure that NHS staff do feel, you know, loved and wanted?
I think one of the big benefits of the last period is we've all got things to learn from each other. Public, private, different states, how different systems work, you know, etc. There's a massive amount of learning. And at different points, I've done international calls with chief execs from around the world and in healthcare. And usually you're struck by how similar everything feels, but also then there's some subtle differences. There's something you can learn from. There's something you can pinch, you know, and similarly when you interact with people running big private businesses, there's usually quite a lot of common ground and then some quirk or something interesting that we can pinch and learn from each other.
Is there something you've either seen or you've heard of, perhaps, or you've been involved in directly, but is just what you described there, something that, you know, came from nowhere, has really helped, and now you couldn't do without it?
Well, there's so many things that we've used over the last sort of 18 months or so. So I'll give you a couple of examples. One is, we were all trying to think about how we become more digitally enabled and provide digital access for care. Before COVID, we're really struggling with it, so I think everyone is just a bit anxious, given the NHS is a human business, it's about personal interaction. So the way our clinical colleagues embrace the digital technology to allow people to still be seen, albeit not physically, to protect them, you know, etc., and then work out how that gets recalibrated as things are more possible physically, I think it was fantastic. And, you know, so the scaling up of that was enormous. As a byproduct, so far, in the 14 or 15 months since we started, we've reduced miles travelled for patients by nearly 3 million miles in our patch. So we had a stated objective before to reduce miles travelled, and that technology has facilitated that, which is fantastic. And then another innovation just at the other end, is when I'm asked what our best innovation was through COVID, it's very, very low tech, but very, very impactful. So our nurse director had an idea that we should put sinks at the front doors of all of our buildings. So in a classic Northumbria way, that was an idea on a, you know, whatever, a Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, the sinks were there. And we're going to keep them forever, and they'll have an impact on spread of norovirus and flu and etc. More importantly, it had a huge impact on confidence. So we noticed really immediately how important that was to people coming into our buildings, to give them confidence about cleanliness and stuff. So I think in summarising that, there's so many innovations, so many good examples of things that we've innovated on, stolen from other systems, you know, etc., etc. And it's very, very diverse. We just got to keep doing it.
There's no harm in stealing with pride if it works. You know, it works anyway. It works, it could work here. So then what about getting, you know, businesses, people listen to this perhaps in private industry, say, I've got a great idea, but where do I start? Who do I talk to? I can't ring Jim. You know, so how would I get in touch with the NHS to tell them about this brilliant idea which will, you know, save lives, save money? You know, the NHS is still seen as impenetrable, isn't it, from a commercial point of view. How do we get over that?
The NHS is huge, first of all, and it can look impenetrable because of its size. And we use our normal systems of governance are built for control that tend to take us towards big established suppliers, etc. And again, I think one of the big learnings from COVID, if you look at how PPE failed, how testing didn't work the way we wanted it to be, was would consolidate it very much in a small number, small outlets, small supply systems that then couldn't really withstand the kind of shock initially, but also scale up as rapidly as we wanted to. So we've learned a lot from that. We need to be more agile and more fleet of foot, and it's economically more important to us now than ever to support local businesses as part of the whole recovery from the last year or so. So I'd say if anybody has an idea, seriously, email me. Email, you know, somebody here. We've got loads of access into the organisation through social media or just through general email. And there's almost not a day goes by without me getting some kind of interaction like that from a patient, a member of staff. I had two from staff members yesterday and a patient. Families, you know, etc. And we'll find a way of helping work through whether the idea is actually possible. We are, as you'd understand, massively regulated from a safety point of view. So a lot of things that look possible, useful, etc., are very difficult to get over the safety hurdles. But we can help people with that. And we've got people working through how we support local small businesses in different ways so that they're not excluded from our procurement processes. So again, if you're in that position and you think you would like to and you can work with the NHS and help, just drop us an email or get in touch through social media.
I guess people just like to help, don't they, especially the NHS. But I know from working with the Academic Health Science Network that in the same position, people do, especially during the pandemic, you know, think nothing of dropping an email. And I know colleagues were swamped with these offers and requests and, you know, just suggestions. And I think you said before, to capitalise on that and keep that going, you know, who knows what the future holds. But, you know, perhaps out of this comes, you know, some good news, and that, yeah, you know, there's a slicker way maybe of people working with the NHS.
Absolutely, and I think that's what the Academic Health Science Network really is all about. It's shortening the period of idea with the commercial business partners, with the NHS, with academia, to get idea to production period really, really shortened. And if you need any encouragement on all of that, you know, look at what's happened in the last year, you know, with the beginning of the pandemic to the production and deployment of vaccines. I think it was like 9 months or something. You know, who would have imagined that? And there's loads of other things where treatments were produced really quickly. That's still developing now. There's some in track that we just thought about a few months ago, and a huge amount of innovation. The big risk is we'll go back to normal and we fossilise again with what we had before. So we've got to maintain the agility as we move through these next phases.
What's your advice then to people listening to this again who are going to say, well, you know, okay, I've got the idea, I've got the email, I'll try and do it. Is it persevere? Is it just keep at it? Because, you know, again, just like you say, time moves on, people forget, and there is a danger of retracting back to, well, this, and I guess a message for people who work at the NHS as well, for procurement, is maybe think outside the box. Is that what you're saying? Don't follow process. I think you wrote sort of recently saying that it's hard to tell staff or encourage staff to follow process if they, A, don't know what the process is, but also don't believe in it. You know, and I guess this is the challenge the NHS has, and managers like yourself, to say, look, you know, yes, there is a process for safety reasons, but, you know, the best idea might come from off the wall.
Absolutely. Don't accept things. So I think one of the things that's hardwired here is don't accept the normal. And again, one of the big things we've got to learn from the last year or so, first of all, what is normal now? You know, a lot of things have been disturbed. But we should, if you've got an idea, you've got a thought, let's have a go. And, you know, it's one of those things where 9 times out of 10 it might not work. But, you know, let's have a go. In the early 80s, Newcastle had a Brazilian centre forward called Mirandina, who used to say, you don't shoot, you don't score. It was always frustrating watching him, but he still scored quite a lot of goals. So I would say, you know, just let's have a crack.
And is that replicated across the NHS? You've held positions, you know, far and wide. I mean, do you sense that the NHS itself is changing? You know, this massive organisation. Is there this can-do attitude now, which perhaps there wasn't before the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this huge ambition and desire to improve and desire to innovate, and it's added by now we've got a recovery period that we actually can't recover at the pace that we want to if we just do what we used to do. The hard bit is defining the innovations that actually do improve things more rapidly and more effectively than before. But, you know, there's about 230 healthcare providers in the English NHS. So I know most of the people who are running those organisations, they're very, very similar mind. Most people just want to really make things better and make them more quickly accessible and, you know, look at ideas ruthlessly and energetically and see what we can pinch and deploy.
And just finally, we started the conversation, asked you how you were now. What about the future? Are you feeling optimistic? Are you nervous? How do you view the rest of this year into next year?
Yeah, so there's an awful lot of unknowns and stuff. And, you know, I've given the announcements yesterday about the easing of restrictions. They provoke mixed feelings in all of us because we've had such an unusual period. And the patterns in the data are all really quite different to what they were in the winter because of the vaccine process. So that's a good thing, first of all. So the predictable patterns of rise of infection means people in hospital, means people die, has been disrupted. It's just hard to read at the moment. So I think it's very hard and unfair for people to take too negative a view of that. You know, you think, you know, what people have withstood over the last period and the tragedy that people have had to get over, you know, etc., etc. And I think the way the service has responded, the way society's responded, the local community response, the business response, etc., has got to give you heart for the future. And I'm a delusional optimist. It'll be better in 10 years' time than it was yesterday. How? You know, we've still got to determine that. And one thing's for certain, if we don't have a go, it's going to be as it was. So let's have a crack.
Sir Jim Mackey, Chief Executive for the Northumbria Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust and the guest speaker at the NHS in the North Excellence in Supply Awards 2021. This is Nigel Thompson. For more podcasts from the Innovation Agency, just search Innovation Agency Podcasts.